Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe?
I'm all right, babes. How are you? I'm actually feeling pretty positive.
Yeah, I am. I feel like we've all got a little bit of a spring in our step post Boris's announcement.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
What are your thoughts on the new roadmap?
Well, I mean, for weeks and weeks we've been whinging and complaining about what we've been up to because it's not been much. I think it's nice to have the idea that we may be able to get out and about, even if it's going to be slow. Obviously, it's only been, 6 or 7 weeks since New Year. We've got another 5 weeks before anything kind of significant happens. It's a slow, long journey, but I understand why that's got to be the case. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, completely agree. I think a lot of us get why they were still that way. And for me, you know, ever the optimist, I just feel like, and what I always wanted was, however long it was going to be, just having some kind of date or just that light at the end of the tunnel, which I truly think this is. Like, I feel like the 12th of April, you won't be able to get into a gym for days. We'll be queuing outside like Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And I've already seen everyone on social media, the amount of memes and people that are going to be making their way to Stansted on the 21st of June, getting on their planes. But again, it's a long way off. But I just feel like the fact there's a date, because that was kind of becoming the scary and the worrying thing. Like, if you was suffering with like the anxiety, was just not knowing from 1 week to the next. So, yeah, remaining positive, there's hope that we will have a little bit of a summer.
Yeah, I think that's why everyone's more excited about than anything else, rather than maybe the specifics of when clubs open or when, you know, we can go on holiday. It's more about the idea that day-to-day life will start to get back to normal, don't you think?
Absolutely. Just the smallest things, I think we've said before, just going to certain shops, being able to just to walk down Oxford Street and see a shop open. I'm going to relish of going to Matalan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for it.
I want to touch those cushions. Do you know what I mean? I want to get the texture of that rug, of that throw.
Like, I want to smell a Yankee candle. I want my senses working again.
I totally, especially after your COVID just a few weeks ago.
I know.
I think it's those small things. Whether or not we will be in a club on the 21st of June, which is a Monday anyway, I don't know. Would you feel comfortable, Bob, do you think? Can you see it?
I personally don't think I would rush to it, a club as such. And I think it's going to stay with us a little bit now. There's just going to be that whole, because we're so conditioned after the last 12 months, if it was in a club on a dance floor with 200 people, it is going to be very overwhelming and weird, considering that we've barely been able to elbow with each other and have any kind of contact. So would I personally, I don't know how we're going to feel by June, but I'm definitely looking forward to, even if it's just outside, like going to a beer garden, having a gin and tonic or a glass of rosé.
Yeah.
Down Old Compton Street. It's exciting. Like, I'm definitely not rushing to book an holiday. I'm more than happy for restrictions to lift when it's safe and do things in UK that we've not really done for a year.
Yeah, I'm completely on board with you with that. I think it's just take those small victories where we can. Yeah, stomping down Old Compton Street will be a pleasure in a pair of short shorts and a little vest top.
Would you go to a club, Stephen?
Probably not until I'd had the vaccine. I think that's probably my thought. I just can't see how it would work. I get funny in the shop. Do you know what I mean? If people are too close, I can't imagine. I don't know. I think it's going to be a bit fraught for a little while. One of my best friends, his boyfriend's in Australia. He hasn't seen him for over a year. And he runs a venue, like a music venue, even in Australia where they've had practically zero cases. They still don't allow dancing indoors. So the clubs are open, but you're sitting at a table. There might be a performance on, but you can't get up and dance. You know, you can clap or whatever you have to, but you're not, it's not the same nightclub situation that we may have, you know, enjoyed in 2019. So yeah, I think we'll get there. But I can't see that we'll all be up in a club at the end of June, living it up, pretending none of this ever happened.
And I think it's got to be adapting to, even if you think of the amount of people, if you go to the O2 to see a show, that's going to even be strange to be in a venue like that when things lift. But I mean, thankfully for the promoters and for clubs, they have that option to open. And maybe if a lot of people have our attitude, maybe there'll only be four people on the dance floor anyway. So you might be safer than on the tube. So.
Everyone else in their COVID secure bubble sitting around the bar.
Go and have a lovely time. As long as you're following the guidelines, good luck to you.
Yeah, precisely. Well, we have an exciting show coming up today. First up, we have Alex Reed, who people may remember from his relationship with Katie Price many years ago. He's now an actor, and in addition to some of his fitness stuff. So we've got, he was actually an actor before, because I remember seeing him very briefly. He appears in Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, he does. And it was when he was famous, it was on TV, and I was like, oh my God, was that Alex Reed? I remember like rewinding. Excited to talk to him. At the end of the show, we have a new member of the FUBAR family, Cece Coleman, in I was gonna say formerly of First Dates, but she is still of First Dates, and also now has her own show with your TOWIE co-star Pete Wicks. What is this, the TOWIE takeover? I mean, what is going on? Who next? So it'll be great to talk to her, and she is going to play a little game with us, I believe, that they do on the show. Excited to speak to her. She's actually she's hosted this show before with me, so I mean we can basically sit back and she can just do the work, I think.
Let her play this little game. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, definitely. Have you been keeping an eye on the showbiz news this week, Bob?
Oh, you know me, babe. Of course I am. I live and breathe the showbiz news.
Of course.
Mr. Jason Donovan pulled out of Dancing on Ice. I mean, it's getting worrying now, isn't it?
I mean, who's left? Lady Leisure, Faye Brooks. There's the only two I can think of.
By default, a lot of people might just make the final now anyway.
Yeah, to be fair. I can't quite... I think it's five people that's pulled out now through injuries and various other things. So now Jason Donovan's added to the four. What do you make of it all? I know you've been to the Dancing on Ice set before, haven't you?
Yeah. I really feel sorry for the professional skaters, the celebrities, and everyone behind the scenes as well, because so much time and effort and money would have gone into trying to make this a secure production that could be done during these COVID times. But it's just heartbreaking. And I know a lot of celebs find out sometimes in October if they're doing the shows. They get a few months practice, obviously, not just giving blades in January going do an edit.
Get out.
Yeah, so they have a few months. So a lot of these celebs would have been training in that rink and really putting everything into it. And it's sad. And also for the professionals, because from speaking to a lot of them in the past, they invest so much in their partners and form such a bond. It's just sad all round. I know that they skipped a show Sunday just gone. And has anything been said if we'll lose another show because of Jason going?
No, I don't know, actually. No, nothing that I've heard has suggested that that's going to happen this week. But, I mean, realistically, if you've got three or four contestants in a two-hour slot, I mean, it's a lot of space to fill, isn't it? I wonder how it will carry on.
But good news for Matt, he's going to be joining us. So he was teamed with Denise Van Outen, wasn't he? And she's had to pull out. He's now going to be teaming up with Faye Brooks. So that's nice for him that he gets another chance at this series and gets back on the ice. And also for Faye that she doesn't have to pull from the competition because of her partner, Hamish. So that's a positive. And I think we said the same last week, but I just hope for the rest of the run of the show that it kind of goes as safely and as securely, and that everyone involved just really enjoys it and has a lovely time. Because it's such a big family show that if you were signing up for it and you're taking part and you were so invested, it's such a shame for it not to have the outcome that a lot of people would have wanted from it.
Yeah, 100%. I think you're absolutely right. Well, yeah, like you said, let's hope they manage to pull it out of the bag, as it were. There was also this week, I don't know whether or not it's shocking news, but Kim and Kanye announced it. Well, no, actually, not officially announcing. Nothing's been officially announced, but papers have been filed from Kim to divorce Kanye after 6 years of marriage. What do you make of it?
Well, I know that there's been rumours for a few weeks. I think we even spoke about it on Showbiz News not that long ago, where it started to kind of hit the press and there was speculation. And I believe it's been alleged that Kim's hired in one of the top lawyers in LA for divorce. So I think it's probably looking likely that it's true. I think that Team Kardashian and its PR around them would shoot it down if it wasn't. So yeah, the fact that no one is saying that this is ludicrous, that's not the case. They're still very much
very
together.
Much in love. Yeah.
Says a lot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm almost not surprised now. I think looking back at maybe the last year or 18 months of the relationship, things have happened and played out in public.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's always that element of what goes on behind closed doors. I think quite a big thing was, I think, looking in, like when the whole Kanye running for president and some of the stuff that was mentioned,
yeah,
I can't imagine that went down well with the Kardashian and Jenner family. But again, who am I or anyone to know, apart from anyone who is part of the firm?
Well, she did herself. I mean, after Kanye said what he said about North suggesting that they nearly chose to have an abortion instead of having her, Kim did herself release a statement saying that, you know, dealing with Kanye's bipolar disorder was an ongoing struggle and blah, blah, blah. So I think they have been fairly open about the struggles that they've had in their relationship. What interests me, actually, is the reports that it's fairly amicable. You know, they've got an estimated $2 billion fortune between the two of them. And it all seems to be fairly sedate. And, you know, they've just got to work out, I read, they've just got to work out their houses because they've got obviously more than one house. But the money and the children situation has been quite quickly worked out. So I'm sure they probably had ironclad prenups and all those kind of things that they have in LA. I wonder what this, because this will be Kim's third marriage. I wonder what how long she'll stay a single woman for. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, it's interesting because of all the times for something as big as this in the Kardashian family to happen, it's come at a time where they're no longer filming the show. That's now everything's all in the can. The plug's been pulled on Keeping Up. And I know a lot of people would have probably liked to have seen the behind the scenes of what's happening. I question whether they actually would have filmed much regarding that if the show was still on air anyway. I think as time's progressed with the show, they've probably been a bit more selective of what they've chose to film, which is absolutely their prerogative and up to them. And like you mentioned, the fact it seems so amicable, I think it's nice, especially when there's four children involved.
Mm.
And sometimes in life, I think whether it's a marriage or any form of relationship, when the two parties involved have both agreed it's not working, you can't really ask for a better outcome than that. But
totally.
I guess it won't be long and it'll be interesting. In a few weeks, months or years, we'll be sat here doing Showbiz News discussing who she's dating or who she's been packed with. And
it's funny though, with someone as famous as her, I wonder how... She's literally one of the most famous women in the world, isn't she?
Yeah.
What kind of man wants to take that on? I mean, it would be difficult, right? Like, they've been married to Kanye West and now you're the new bloke. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting. You need someone in those, when there's so much money involved, you need someone, I think, who's an equal power player to you, don't you? She couldn't just go out with you or I, Bob. although we might not
be a headline. Imagine me and Kim Kardashian. Kim, do you know what? Stranger things have happened in life. Do you know, I'm up for a move to Calabasas. Let's give it a go. I'll let her live her life on the side if she wants to have a man.
She'll have to let you do the same.
Yeah, completely. Me and Kim could have a lovely marriage, so who knows?
But that could be in the future.
It's true. If you are a Kardashian, where'd you go to meet a fella?
Yeah, slide in your DMs.
The Toby Carvery and meet him on a Sunday over a joint of gammon. Like,
you never know. You never know.
And again, if you're listening, Kim, because I know you probably are, if you fancy a Toby, jump on your jet when you're allowed and the airspace is lifted off.
True.
I'll take you for a Toby Carvery and I'll let you have all three meats, babe.
I mean, you're not one for scrimping and saving when
I'm a dream date, and I.
Do you know what? I would actually love a date with Toby Carvery. I'm vegetarian, for Christ's sake, but it's actually a pretty decent meal
they
out.
They do in lovely Yorkshire.
Oh, they certainly do. Yeah, they certainly do. And lots of choice of veggies as well, I will say.
Absolutely.
We have our first guest, Alex Reed, ready to come in. Let's get him in.
Let's do it.
Alex, hello.
How you doing? All right, Alex? Doing?
I'm lovely. It's Desperado's time.
Oh, nice. You're treating yourself. I thought you'd be one of those kind of body as a temple kind of men.
It is. You've got to worship to the great God Reed by giving him lots of copious amounts of naughty things.
As this lockdown...
Why are you laughing, Master Norris? You worship at that same temple. Don't give it Larry Lives that you're pure and innocent.
I've got the chamomile.
What's in it really?
I promise you, it's a chamomile. It's a new drink I found in the first lockdown. I've never had one before, but I'm kind of all about that herbal tea life.
Chamomile is good. I love my psychedelics and chamomile was a very natural. Well, look, two biggest drugs going. Well, smoking and tobacco. Then you've got alcohol.
Yeah.
Caffeine. Because when you heat the coffee bean, it changes the alkaloid and it releases serotonin. There's another big drug that is the most addictive substance on the planet, and it's not heroin or cocaine, sugar.
Oh.
So chamomile is quite a good one. That's a healthy one. I'll let you off.
How have you been, Alex?
How have I been? I'm not a big buyer on COVID. Yeah, there's something that's killing people. And I look at the statistics. I've been in more than 50 court hearings in the last 10 years. That's very unfortunate. But when you're in hearings, you're presented with a lot of what I call bollocks, excuse my language, evidence. You can see it's a load of rubbish, but you still have to listen to it. So with the rhetoric which the government and the main sponsored media, like the BBC, Sky, they're telling you, I'm like, okay, all right, I'll buy that a bit. But then when you hear it's very sound, intellectual professors, not what you can say consider conspiracy nutters. I'm like, you're going to listen to it. And so it's confusing to know what's really going on. I'm a little bit on the fence, but I have been respectful because my lovely lady, we're expecting in July, and she's immune suppressed. She has to take very strong immune suppressive drugs. Mm-hmm. Because her immune system has killed the baby. So it's not just COVID, it's anything. My mother's in a care home, which is very sad. It's very frustrating as well, because I'm of the opinion that the masks, I'm an anti-masker, isn't good for the immune system, isn't helping. And it's the number one thing I think of health is what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And if you're sad and miserable, one of the two things that are going to stop that is communication and community. We're breathing in that air the whole time. That's not great. Well, I'm not buying that. And I've seen all the arguments to and for and against and yada, yada, yada. And I'll just finish off. I've started to finally get a bit down because I'm an actor. I've got lots of acting projects in the pipeline. They've all been put on hold because of something. And I've run a boot camp as well. And I've had more than half of my clients go. So, and with a new little person coming, it's shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that those things for, for anyone is difficult, isn't it? But I mean, for instance, Bob here has had COVID. He had it, what, 6 weeks ago?
I had it Christmas, New Year.
And you were in a pretty bad way, weren't you, for a good couple of weeks? I think, I mean, you're obviously entitled to your opinion. I'm definitely of the opinion that I will wear a mask as long as I feel it's necessary. But, you know, things are starting to get better, don't you think?
Tell me, Bobby, were you... and I've got lots of other very close friends who I love who've had it as well. And I know people who've died. So I'm not denying that that's happened. I'm just thinking that our response. Tell me, Bobby, were you wearing a mask non-stop beforehand?
Yeah, when I was out and about, absolutely. I was wearing masks, whether I was on public transport or in the supermarket, as we have to.
What was your mindset like? Were you feeling negative, down?
I was as sick as before. A pig. Before. I mean, probably it's hard to tell, isn't it? I just think because after two lockdowns by that point, I think it was just because I tested positive the week before Christmas, a few days before. So I think it was very much... Yeah, I never expected.
Are you quite a healthy person? Do you take your vitamins?
I take vitamins.
Vitamin D, C.
Yeah, I take the D and the C.
Good food.
Yeah, good food. And I never considered myself...
Did you take the special food, the special elixir?
No, I never took a Desperado. But what I did never think of, I kind of just thought as a fit, fairly fit, early 30s, I never thought I would get it. And I was surprised how rough it made me feel. And that is the thing, I think everyone, it's surprising how many people have come down with the virus and some people don't feel as bad as others. And some, as we see, end up in hospital on ventilators, bless them, and a lot of people are losing their lives. So do you not, what's your opinion on it, Alex? Do you not believe COVID?
Well, I haven't had a test. I've had lots of tests. I haven't been tested to whether I've had it or not. I 100% have had it right at the beginning. I felt shitty for days, had the poos and achy body, all that stuff. And I didn't do anything. I just recovered, rested, and did what I would have thought you would normally do when you feel poorly. Ate well, you know. I've done all my partying. I'm not anti a party, but I'm a 45 years young, and I want to live another good 45 years, hopefully. So I look after myself. So it's positive mindset. But obviously there are things I did feel diabolical. The thing I'm really concerned about, obviously I believe we need to protect those who are vulnerable. We need to protect those who are suffering. But we are also, I'm going to say a rude word, fucking up our economy to the point where it's going to cause so much more death. You know, it's not just about that people are going to starve. You know, that's the biggest fear.
Well, I hope. I think that at the minute that's what's being addressed. I mean, it's a difficult balance to get the two right. And I would much rather a situation where we're able to carry on with our lives, but we can't at the moment. That's my personal opinion on the matter. Having said all of this, you did, like you mentioned yourself, you are an actor. You're doing work when you can, and you do have a film coming out. Is that right?
Several.
Tell us about them.
Post and pre-production for several. I actually had one literally come out. I did in 2017. It's called Sensation. It's quite good. It's in fact. How I got this gig, the lady who's I believe she's a mini producer on it, her boyfriend was a producer on it. It's called Sensation. I was a henchman. I was like it's an ex-Nazi secret society. They did experiments on conjoined twins. They did horrible things. Generally, they did. And it comes down to modern day. They're trying to see if one twin could feel what the other would feel doing horrible things to them. I'm basically like Jaws. I read for this role. I'm a serious actor, whatever that means, bloody hell. I read for this role and I put some real character into it. I went to my background and yeah, I got it. And I got a juicy script. got there, I'm looking at my, I was like, Martin's the producer, director. What's going on? My character's got like four lines. Oh, we just wanted to make sure that you could act. We wanted an actor. We didn't want an extra. I'm like, oh, all right.
Do you find that people assume that you can't then? Is that what you're... No,
not anymore. I mean, there has been that. I mean, I think I'm past, unfortunately, the negative of the celebrity world. For a lot of years, I hated the word celebrity because I don't know about you, Bobby, but it causes... You get so much negativity. I mean, you understandably, I know you're big on trolling, Bobby. I mean, I've been horrendously trolled. I mean, viciously. I mean, mine specifically by the hands of my ex-wife, which is even crazy, who runs an anti-trolling society. And what she'd do is she'd get all of her fans to say the most horrific, disgusting things. And there's that. For a while, when you're not strong enough and mature enough, can really affect you. I mean, I've had therapy for suicide. I've had so much therapy because the horrible, disgusting things, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Hell, they do. And like, I'm a tough guy. And it's all, look, I'm an ex-paratrooper. You can have a laugh and a joke, but it's not funny, right? When you're trying to put food on the table to feed your children. And you become a mockery. So I've learned to have to be very, very strong. I mean, I'm now a champion for many different people like myself. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. So tell me about your trolling.
So mine is 9 times out of 10 due to my sexuality. Which, again, you control me forever and a day until I'm 94 years old. That's never going to change.
So saying something on Instagram, it's not going to change that.
It's not going to make me go to bed and wake up straight in the morning. So I don't ever get the theory behind trolls. And so many times I've tried to figure out why they do it. And obviously you would drive yourself mad trying to figure out why, because I can't figure out the reason. I definitely believe that people that troll must be deeply unhappy in themselves to try and inflict hurt and upset onto people. But mine escalated over time. Like I think in the first 7 or 8 years of being on telly, I never really got anything. The odd comment. And it wasn't until I started campaigning against trolling because it's so savage out there. And there tends to be...
You're almost putting a red rag to a bull. It's like, yeah.
That's what it is. Since speaking about it, I think trolls that kind of get off on it.
Let's have a laugh at that idiot. Look at him.
Yeah, they come for you. And I'm quite a thick-skinned person. Do you know what I mean? I'm a 34-year-old man. I've had this career now for the best part.
Yeah, but you might be thick-skinned, Bobby, but if it's affecting you getting work, this is how I saw it. This is why I took action against my ex-wife, because she was saying the most disgusting things about me and it was affecting me working continually because people were laughing at me. I am thick-skinned. I can have a laugh. I'm like, I'm an ex-paratrooper. Nothing's sacred. And I don't have a racist bone in my body, but you would make the joke out your best mate who's just died, you know, and that might sound sick, but it's kind of a coping mechanism psychologically.
But when it's
affecting your ability to work and also children that are around you, which, I mean, my brothers and my nephews and nieces were getting bullied, you know, and that's not right. That's
but has
not
that
right.
changed now? Now with the more, well, now more I have you've been able to get away against... from that, but you've been able to get away from that celebrity scene and that kind of situation, right?
It has somewhat. There's still a tiny bit. There's still a plonker here or there. And I always if you haven't got haters, you're not doing something right. So in that respect, I don't want haters by any means. I'm a lover. I really am a lover. I don't like nastiness. I mean, I'm not a tough guy. And I've just been diagnosed with something.
Oh, okay.
And it explains a lot. I'm not going to say what it is. But it explains, I'm a scaredy cat. Although I've had 300 fights. I've mixed with soldiers, terrorists. It's been the most scary situations. I put on a another personality so I can cope with that.
Right.
So I'm tough. But really deep down, there's a scared little boy crying, screaming, not wanting to be there. But I'm like, it's kind of, I'm not going to get into the psychology of it. I will talk about this later date. But I've always felt different. I've always felt like I wanted to fit in. But when I got in there, I didn't fit in. And now I understand why. And I've taken all these guises. I've had more than 300 fights. I'm scared. I left the army because I don't want to kill people, but I've mixed with the most dangerous people in the world. Just a scared little boy looking for love.
And you found it, right? You've been with your partner for a long time now.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter. You can, looking for it and finding it, the one person where I need to find it is in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with that some days. I am learning to love myself. I'm not totally there. How can you love anyone else if you don't love yourself?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely true. And you know, life is a constant learning thing. And you've obviously learned over the
years. Have you ever been bullied?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bullied at school. I was a 15-year-old guy who was into acting and performance. So I was a bloody child actor.
God, look at you.
Not anymore.
Special, do you?
Not anymore. But it was all of that, you know. And I think I've been lucky enough in my career to stay away from that.
Sexuality thrown at you?
Not as an adult.
Me and Bobby.
Not as an adult. But then I'm not famous, I guess. So it would. I haven't ever been in a situation where strangers would come at me. But I do understand how it happens, and it's horrendous. And you know, you're here now, Bob's here now. You've survived these horrendous things, and you're
this
here.
This is the thing. I feel I don't even want to mention her name. I've generally ultimately bullied by specifically one person who garnered the media in a purposely way to say the most disgusting things, and it would get massive headlines time and time again, which is I'm the sort of person I am. I just want to get my head down and keep moving forward and not worry about it. But sometimes you have to take a stand because I need to protect my future, my loved ones, and my children.
Do you hope to be able to move on from this one day? And the person you're speaking about isn't here to defend herself, I have to add. So we don't know these things.
Yeah.
There are two sides to every story. But you know, are you hoping that you'll be able to move on from that?
Oh, undoubtedly. I don't want to talk about this. There's one more thing coming up, court case. After that, I never want to talk about this person ever again in my life.
But you've got, and now you've got films to talk about.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm all about positivity. But the thing is, sometimes we've got into the subject of... I don't think I told you about PTSD. I suffer from PTSD. I had an argument with my missus this morning about it. She said, you're not being diagnosed. But I mean, I was reliving a situation. It was so bad. And she said, what's going on? And I couldn't get back. And I was, oh, yeah, sorry. I said, but sometimes, obviously, I need a bit of therapy. And this is kind of, I'm not trying here to do a poor me. You know, poor is Alex.
And
get the violins out.
But you know, I hope for you, Alex, that it all works out in the end. And like you mentioned, you've got films and
loads of films
and a baby on the way. You've got lots to be excited about.
Hallelujah, baby.
Hallelujah. Alex, we could talk to you all night. And thank you so much for joining us. We have other guests who are ready to come in, but
none of them. Get rid of them. I'm not going.
Thank you very
much. Take
care.
Alex. Bye. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Alex. Well, thank you so much. So nice to speak to Alex. I will just say personally, keep wearing masks. I think you probably agree, Bob. Definitely of the opinion that masks work and that COVID is real. And again, thanks so much, Alex, for taking the time. We now have FUBAR family ready to come in and join us. The gorgeous Cece.
Miss Cece.
Hello.
Hello, Cece.
Hi.
Welcome officially to the FUBAR family, right?
Thank you. Thank you. This is my new way of saying thank you to everybody. Namaste, thank you. Thank you. I feel very pleased about it. Very excited. Thank you.
How are you finding the new show?
Do you know what? It is a crack. It is a real laugh, which is maybe what I needed more than anything. I mean, obviously in the lockdown, you're like, God, trying to find something to make you laugh. This is just, I'm just wetting myself the whole way through, and I'm getting to speak freely and talk about things that I want to talk about. So these lovely love, laughter, relationships. But with Pete, obviously it becomes quite funny, and there's lots of lines being crossed, which I love anyway. So he makes me feel good about myself because I have a terrible potty mouth, and he just goes below that each time, so I feel really good about me. So yeah, it's great in a really selfish, narcissistic way. It's great.
I was gonna say, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I'm guessing you, do you feel the same? Like, Foob has almost become my therapy during the lockdown. Like, coming on here with Stephen every week and having that kind of outlet, talking about things you love, amazing guests. It really is, like, Fubar couldn't have come at a better time, and I'm guessing.
Yeah, I agree on that, and we're on session number two, and already my mood's been lifted. So yeah, there's something really nice about it, and we've had really good guests, so that helps as well. So everyone's just been really open and chatty, and so you can just communicate with people, and it's really nice. I thought I'd lost my social skills because of lockdown, and I genuinely mean that. I thought I was a bit like, oh God, you go to the shop and you're like, oh yes to coffee, and I don't even know how to speak anymore. But I realised actually I've still got a little bit there, proved on Fubar. So yeah, it's going really, really well. Thank you.
Tell us what the show's actually about, then. So what are you doing?
I mean, it's in the title slightly. It's called The Dating Show.
Well, that pretty much gives it away.
So, yeah, we get to talk to some celebrity guests. We get to play some games, and we talk about really anything to do with love, dating, relationships, stories. Lots of stories come up. We learn a little bit about me. We learn a little bit about Pete. We play some really fun games, which I think we're going to play a game today. It's lighthearted, but we also manage. I mean, we've had a guest on yesterday who I think I'm allowed to say. So we had a guest on yesterday, and it was phenomenal. We got to a really nice, deep level of talking about you can be funny, and funny is great, but then you miss like what you're the deep side of it. And I love that. So
it was Lisa Spraggan, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had her, and she was just brilliant to talk to. Very open. She knows a lot. She speaks my language.
She's been through a lot as well, hasn't she? And she's very open about her issues with alcohol and all that kind of stuff that she's dealt with in the past.
Fully, yeah. She comes across as very strong. It was nice. So, yeah, we're having a right little laugh, we are.
And what's Pete like?
So Pete, I've known for a few years now, because he came on First Dates when we were filming in Italy. So,
the hotel.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, of course. Yeah.
So he flew out. So that was the first time I kind of officially met him. I was doing Merlin's role at that point. So I got to really kind of dig deep, and I was, again, blown away by him, because he knows himself very well, and he knows a lot. He's very self-aware. So coming into this is just, it's blissful. And we've already created this kind of team, which... You do or you don't have that. You can't buy it. You can't just, you either do or you don't. And we have this nice, I feel supported by him. He gets the stuff out, but I feel supported at the same time. So it's, tick, tick, tick.
Sounds it.
And do you have a favourite game? Is it the same games every show, Cece?
Yeah, so we're doing two truths and one lie. So we guess. So there's three stories, and you guess which two are truthful and which one is a lie. And we get to ask a question on each story. So for instance, I would tell you three stories, you both get a question each, and then you make your decision of which one you think is the lie, and all is revealed. And we've had some crazy stories. We've had,
Well, let's play.
Okay. Let's give it a go.
Okay,
babes.
Game face, hold on. Here we go.
So wait, can I just clarify? Are these from you or from other people, or how have you found them?
So these are my stories. Okay. So I'm going to tell you three stories, mm-hmm. and you're going to guess. So I'll stop after the first one, and then I'll continue. And then if you want at the end, you can ask me a question each about my story to hopefully give away.
And two are true and one is a lie.
Two are true and one is a lie, yes.
Got it,
yes.
Okay.
Guess the lie.
So, here we go, right, which one am I telling first? Right, so many moons ago, I used to work for HSBC Bank, and one of my clients came in one day and he said to me, you have to meet my son. My son would adore you, you'd get on really, really well. And I said, well, I'm actually moving to New York, so I can't, but thank you very much. And he said, well, amazing, because my son is also moving to New York and he's going to film school over there. So you two should definitely meet. So we do, we meet. 3 months of me being to New York, we are completely smitten with each other, over the heels, head over heels in love. The love views are being thrown out. I mean, I'm very soppy anyway, so it all came out. And then one evening he said to me, rather than getting a takeaway, shall we go out to eat this evening? And I said, I mean, yeah, fine, let's do what we need to do. He said, let's go to this steakhouse. At that point I was eating meat, and I said, well, this place is it's quite hard to get into, but you know, if you can pull some strings, fine. Anyway, he comes back in the room and he's like, I've got us a table, it's in 2 hours. And I'm like, okay, so go and get ready. We go to the restaurant, we have the best seat in the house, so it's like a corner table, it's a round table looking out onto the restaurant. It is absolutely stunning. And I'm like, for a restaurant on a Saturday night, how the hell does he pull this? Anyway, didn't really think about it at the time, but all the waiters were being really lovely, really over the top, really, really nice. And so when we eat our food, dessert comes and he says, I've ordered a couple of desserts for us. And I was like, I mean, you can order all of them if you want for me. Anyway, the desserts come, I go to go in a spoon into my dessert, and there is a ring on the side of my dessert.
Shut up.
I know. So I'm at this point, I'm petrified, by the way. So I look at him and I'm like, and he takes my hand and he said, listen, I know what you're thinking and it is what it is, but I don't want to put pressure on you. So this is just my way of showing you how much I love you. End of story. Story number two, right. Still in New York. So I've had some crazy times in New York. Still in New York. I move into this house share and it's a couple. They're from Montenegro and they appear really, really lovely on the outset. We have a great little chat. Anyway, I move into their spare room. New York in summer is absolutely boiling. So if you don't have air conditioning in your apartment, it is doors, windows and everything is open. So I would sleep my door open. I would sleep my window open. Some nights the husband would come into my room and I'd wake up and he'd be at the end of my bed. And it wasn't in a weird way, but it sounds weird. But he would like try and wake me up and he'd be like, see, 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 see. And his language, there was a bit of a language barrier. And he'd say, do you want to join me and my wife? And I'd say, no, no, you know, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm asleep. It's 4 a.m. No, I'm good. Anyway, this happened a few times and I kept saying no. So then I wake up one night because something is waking me up and my door, the view of my door is the view of their door. So I can see into their bedroom and he is having very powerful sex with his wife whilst staring at me. Story number two, end of. Story number three. I'm back in London. I'm out with the girls. We're dancing around our handbags in Clapham. And there's this guy that when I'm with my friends, we're all a bit like in a huddle. No one kind of gets in. It's all elbows, like that kind of thing. Anyway, this guy's trying to get in. And I'm like, no, 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 no. But the girls are giving me the look of like, this guy's hot. So I'm like, I have a little butcher's. Beautiful, absolutely stunning, stunning man. So I'm like, okay, I'll drop the elbows, you know, start walking back. We have a little chat. Within 10 minutes, he said to me, would you like to leave? At that point, I hadn't had a one-night stand. So I was like, I think this guy's inviting me back by saying, do I want to leave? Anyway, so I go and ask my friend, literally ask her permission. I'm like, listen, I think this guy's asking me back, can I go? And she's like, just go, he's beautiful, do what you need to. So we do. Go back to his house, chat, 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 lovely evening, couple of adult huddles. And then in the morning, I think I'm going to do this properly. If I'm going to like nail this, like one night stand, I'm going to do
it. You already had. Go on.
I'm I'm going to do this with class in my head. So I like creep around the living of the bedroom, put my clothes on and whatnot, creep out, go downstairs. It feels like it's like five floors down. Go to open the front door and the front door won't open. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a lock. So I've got to go back up and wake him up. So I creep back up slowly, get to the top of the stairs. He's, the door's open and he's laying in bed with holding the keys like this. Doesn't even open his eyes. It's just like, you know, like you're pathetic. And I went, oh, sorry, I'm just trying to leave. And he said, I would give you my phone number, but you can just Google me. End of story. Because he was a model. End of story.
Oh.
So, questions.
Right, to just remind me, say.
So, story one.
One question per story.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah, okay. Each. So you both get a question each.
Well, okay. Would you like to start, Stephen Bates?
Yeah, I'll start. So this wasn't the first story. It wasn't a marriage proposal. It was just a friendship ring.
No, it was a marriage proposal, but because it had only been 3 months, he didn't want to put the pressure on. So he knew that that was too soon, but he wanted to show his love for me. So he didn't want me to say, yes, I do. He just wanted to say, this is what I'm giving you and show you my way of love.
Okay.
How did it come about in HSBC when the dad was getting his mini statement that you then got the digits? Was he quite forceful and say, like, you can call him before you both go to New York? Or had you then, met basically in UK before you hooked up in New York?
No. So his dad was a client of mine, had been for months, and had always been saying, you should meet my son. And I just left it there. I didn't think anything of it. But because of the New York move, it kind of, I guess, moved things forward quicker. We exchanged numbers, yeah, met in New York and had a lovely time.
Okay. The second one, so they're from Montenegro. Did you ever have a threesome with them?
No.
That was actually nothing to do with the story, I just wanted to know.
No, I definitely did not, no.
Did a conversation take place when you woke up that final time and there was rampant sex happening at the end of the bed that you could see and he was looking at you? Did you kind of say, did you say anything? Did he say anything? Or did you just kind of sit there and watch?
Oh, I wish I said I was watching. I was livid. I was so angry. So I mean, there was nothing I could do. I just slammed my door. But that was my way of, like, I gonna get on my high horse. No, I was livid.
And the third one. I don't actually know if I have any questions about the third one. It was quite a self-sufficient little story.
My question to the third one would be, while Stephen thinks.
Yeah, go on.
Did you Google him?
Oh, I don't want to give it away.
Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, so I will ask another question then.
Okay.
And then did you message him after that?
So hang on. The more I say, the more I'm going to give away.
Give it all away.
I saw him on a billboard on a sport and soccer. I walked past sport and soccer billboard and I was like, oh my God, that guy, yeah, him. Yeah.
I wish I had more questions for this third one, actually. Is he a household name model?
No, I didn't recognize him. No,
okay. So like a sportswear model or something like that, where it's like they're just very pretty, but yeah, okay, fine. Okay, so I am going to say that the lie is the middle story, the threesome couple.
I'm gonna say that the lie is the first story, HSBC son.
The lie, Bobby, you're right. Is
damn it.
Yeah, that Montenegrin couple got worse. They stole my passport because I told, after that night, I said, I'm leaving. Trust me, I was so livid. And he said, you're not leaving because I've got your passport. They've been through my stuff, taken my passport. He said, I've got photocopies of it. You can't leave the country. Yeah, it got
Jesus.
Bad. It was wild, honestly. New York was.
And do you think that's because you didn't make the threesome happen?
Yes, because there was a girl next door who moved in, and she said to me, before me, and said that the girl who was room I had taken, she had sex with the guy. So that's probably why he thought I was going to do
that. I've heard of that happening before, actually. Yes, I have. I actually have a funny threesome story, which I am prepared to share.
Oh, sure.
I'd just moved to London and met a guy in a club. I must have been about 22. met a guy in the club, and then he was like, do you want to come back to mine? And I was like, yeah. And we got in the taxi, and then his friggin' boyfriend got in the taxi as well. Zoomed off in this taxi.
You didn't know that he was had a boyfriend?
I didn't. No. But I was like, oh, fine. Then got to their place, which is in the Barbican Centre, which I think must meant they must have had some serious money. Done, dusted, forgotten about. My 30th birthday, I'm in Berlin in a queue for a club. Steve! And I'm like, the fuck is that? It's the same couple that I had a threesome with that happened then to be in Berlin at the same time I am for my 30th birthday.
Wow.
And I couldn't remember either of their names either, so...
Same and did question. You have a Berlin threesome as well?
Yeah.
We didn't. No, we did, definitely did not. But, like, well, it's my only threesome experience, actually. But, yeah, I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances of that?
It's mad, isn't it?
This is the world we live in. Well, I mean, this definitely sounds like... Are you both doing it? So is Pete doing it as well, or is it just always your stories?
Oh, God, no, this is the guest stories. So the guest...
Okay.
Oh, I've got stories for days. I could honestly... My whole New York experience was just... People think I lie because they're so extravagant, like the Montenegrin couple being one of them. But yeah. No, they are real. And there was some truth to that first story. He didn't propose, but there was... We did fall in love, and it was lovely.
Oh. Do you know where he is now?
He's Israeli, so I think he's gone back to Israel.
Good vaccine program there, so he's probably got the jab. I mean, that's exciting.
And did you keep the ring? Have you still got the ring?
Oh no, that was the lie.
Oh yeah, the lie. Oh. The ring never happened. Oh, that's
no. We did go to that nice restaurant, but no, did he? No, he did not.
Well, the show airs on Fridays at 6 p.m. And yeah, you've got Lucy Spraggan on this week.
Yep.
We also have her song to play out at the end of the show, so we'll make sure. But Cece, brilliant game. Can't wait to listen to the show. I'm going to go back and have a listen properly, rather than just the clips I've seen, and have a proper listen. But yeah, good luck with it. Good luck with it.
I hope it
goes well.
Thanks, guys. Lovely to talk to you. Both look really well. You look beautiful.
And Joe, darling. Oh, thanks, Cece.
Pleasure. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh,
I mean, that's a good game. That is a good game.
Yeah, I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
What made you think the second one was a lie out of interest?
I just thought that Cece just seems like such a nice girl. I can't imagine that kind of thing ever happening to her. I'm obviously a nice little piece of work, so those kind of things happen to me fairly. No, they don't really. But, you know, like, sounds good, though. And I think, I can't wait to listen to the show. Well, as per usual, Bob, I'll ask you what you've got coming up this week.
Yeah, diary ain't popping, but Towie starts filming again really, really soon. So
good.
Went to do some social media stuff yesterday.
And great.
Promo. So that's very much on the horizon now. So that's coming, which is exciting.
Has the vaccination stuff come through or not?
So my card's come through. I'm just waiting on one final piece of admin, and right. Then I'm good to go. So I'm really excited for that. So between Towie, the lovely Fubar family, and vaccinating, I'm going to be a busy boy, and I'm here for it because I can't wait to see that diary full again.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to just see the diary because it seems so long to actually even writing anything down. It's just a waste of ink and a waste of paper. So that's me. How about yourself, my love?
Well, not much. No, same old for me, I guess. Although I have started to make some kind of minimal plans to maybe get down to see my family in May, if the rules allow. And we're planning to have an Australian style Christmas. So my mum has already started. My mum loves a project, so she started to do some research into what exactly an Australian style Christmas entails. Not much really. Probably a nice bike ride if the weather continues to be as good. But same old.
Busy with a day job. How's all that?
It's absolutely fine, to be honest. Ticking along nicely. We've got a bit of an unusual cover coming out next week, which will be great.
Tell us.
Oh, actually, Bob, you appear in the magazine next week as well.
Oh, what about?
We've done a little spread about vaccine stars, and in addition to those that have had them, you've got a little picture of you as someone who's given out the vaccines.
Oh, thank you, Bo. That's very kind of you in the magazine.
My pleasure, babes.
What's your thoughts on? Because I believe it's been recorded. I don't know when we'll get to see it in the UK, but Meghan's interview with Oprah. Do you think we'll get that aired over here?
Good question. I don't know. It's a private broadcaster in America, so I don't know how exactly they'll do it. But I'm excited to see what they have to say. I'm not really a fan of Meghan or the royals, so I'm in an unusual situation where I just don't like any of them. But I'm still very intrigued to see what happens.
Is there tech to be spilt, do you think? Is it kind of a teller, or is it just going to be very...
They've said no holes barred. But who knows what, after they've said it, they might say, can you take that bit out of the interview to air and things like that? So I guess it's already been recorded. So I imagine we'll probably get some preview or something in the next week or so, because it's early March, it's coming out. So
the editor's suite's probably busy as we speak, having things polled.
Popping.
Haven't they had their titles revoked now that they've said? Because I know they had their year kind of Mexit time to think if they was coming back, and apparently they're not going to, which I kind of think a lot of us kind of realised they wasn't coming back.
Yeah, of course. So they still got their titles. They're still Duke and Duchess of Sussex, but they are no longer patrons or royal patrons of places that they were, like the Royal Marines, and Meghan was the royal patron for the National Theatre. So they've had those jobs taken away, which I think probably is quite hard for Harry, because he has done those jobs for all of his life, hasn't he?
All of his life, yeah. Well, I might reach out to Megs and H, if he's up for it, and see if they want to join us on Access All Areas after the Oprah.
I would love to see it.
I'm going to try and call it on. I reckon Meghan and Harry, they can double Zoom us.
I've got a spare 50 quid going. If we need to pull some money, I'll put it in. I'm perfectly happy to do that.
Yeah, and we'll say, right, you can have 30 quid's worth of Uber Eats vouchers. We'll have your saint delivered, whatever you like.
What do they have in America? The In-N-Out burger. We'll get them an In-N-Out burger.
Yeah, we'll get her an In-N-Out. And yeah, that'll be nice chat.
Nice chat. We'll even give them a whole show. They can have the whole hour. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to our guests.
Bye, guys. Stay safe and wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Convincing myself that I'm human, play by the rules that nature won't use, and who on this earth am I fooling? Trust in my instinct, I'm not gonna listen, I won't crawl around on my belly, 'cause I can run faster and I can be free if I don't do the things that you told me. Feed me to the lion, throw me to the wolves, drop me to the floor, I ain't ever gonna crawl. Circle like a shark, then treat me like a devil, call me what you want, 'cause you're right, I'm an animal.
animals.